That's James Mitchell Mort. And it's a special day. I think it's a special day for us. I really do. Yeah, we're going to spend, but as, before we get into all of that this morning, I want us to spend some time reminding ourselves of some truths. And while having elders is a wonderful thing, it doesn't mean that we get to slough all of our responsibilities off on their shoulders, but we have actual responsibilities as sheep. And I want us to take a few minutes this morning just looking at who we are and what we're expected to be to the men who are serving the Lord in their leadership of us. And it's, I think it ties in with our actual annual theme of Seeing God with 2020 Vision. It's going to help us identify who we are, see who we are as sheep. And I was sitting there this morning, and maybe it was epiphany, maybe it was as Alan was talking about this morning, but I couldn't help but think about the 95th Psalm while we were sitting there singing and worshiping, where it says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for He is our God." And we, you guys know who that we is, right? Yeah, that's it's us. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. We cannot escape the picture that God provides for us that we are sheep. And I think that we could spend a lot of time talking about how sheep-like we actually are, you know, trying just, it's a full-time job just keeping a bunch of sheep together in one flock, not having some wander off and do all of those different things. We're stubborn at times. We like to try and go our own way at times, and God provides that leadership to do that. But understanding that as a sheep, we are to operate as a flock. We are together in all of this, and we're following the leadership of men, okay? Let's understand that from the very get-go. Alan, Ron, and Mitch are not going to do things perfectly, at least according to our view. There's going to make decisions that we're probably going to be upset with at times. I would actually expect that. That if they're leading us in a godly way, it should upset us in some ways as they challenge us to grow and be God's people, to be the sheep that God is calling us to be. I think that's an expectation that we can have of them. But understanding also, and I don't know how Alan does this every week from his class, but bring up something that I'm going to mention in the sermon. I promise that we are not in collusion on this at all. Who remembers growing up watching Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom? Right? He brought this up in class. I'm like, really, Alan? Again? I'm going to have to start calling him on Saturday night and say, don't mention this, please. But you remember the show? Right? And the guy in the narration, and it was just nothing but wildlife and all of the different animals that are out there. You know, they'd have a guy dealing with dangerous animals on occasion and doing these types of things. And side note, by the way, I didn't even realize that Mutual of Omaha was a thing until we moved to Omaha. As a kid, I'm like, Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom. That's just what the animal kingdom is called. Right? That, which, by the way, is another aspect of sheep-like behavior. We're sometimes dumb and we don't realize it. Right? But operating as a flock means that we're actually all one animal in this thing. That it's not, God didn't design His people to operate like Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom. And anything other than a sheep in the flock, it does not belong. That's not how God had purposed this thing. In fact, you could almost say that anything other than a sheep in the flock is actually a predator. In one form or another. Right? Turn over in your Bibles to Ezekiel 34. I know that we often go here when we're talking about elders, and we often go here when we're talking about how they're supposed to be doing things, but I want us to look at how God addresses the flock in Ezekiel 34, the behaviors that they are exhibiting, and how God needs to have that corrected as we go through it, right? We're going to start Ezekiel 34. Let's start in verse 17. He says, "As for you, my flock," now understand, everything that we're about to read, this is God talking to the people, not the leadership. He's already dealt with the leadership in Ezekiel 34. He's talking to the people. He says, "So, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you should tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures? Or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must foul the rest with your feet?" Now understand, this is Jeremy's understanding of what God is saying here. He's led them to this wonderful promised land. Everything is great. They've got the spiritual blessings that are there that he's essentially asking, is it just not good enough for you that I gave you all of these things that you got to go ruin it for everybody else? And then he continues, "As for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet and drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and with shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey. I will judge between one sheep and another." So notice what's happening here. You've got some sheep, and I have it underlined in my Bible, the fat sheep and the lean sheep. This concept of the mentality that certain sheep are having toward other sheep, right? And we're going to just call this goat-like behavior, especially because that horns concept is being brought up in all of this, that there are some in the flock who have no consideration for others. They're bullying others. And God says, that's not the way things get done around here, not for my people. So I'm going to provide, and understand, Ezekiel 34 is leading us to Jesus. He's the good shepherd, the way he talks about in John chapter 10. But real shepherds are going to be provided for the people, and they're going to take care of these, and you're not going to allow to be a predator to those other sheep in this. They will no longer be prey for you. You are meant to work together. And as we deal with each other as the flock, that's what sheep do. We work together on this. We're not working against each other through all of this. And so I would submit to you that our first responsibility as sheep is to understand who the real enemy is. It's not the people sitting in the pew with you this morning. That we have to be sheep, behaving as sheep would do. You go over to Acts chapter 20, and I know that Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus there, and I know that a lot of times we would only make application of this to the eldership as we look at it, but I think that what Paul says there actually needs to be paid. We need to pay close attention to that as sheep of the pasture, sheep of the flock. And as he's talking, he says in verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." Do we understand that what Paul is talking about here is not just to be applied to the eldership? He says, after I'm gone, there's going to be some wolves that come into the flock from outside, maybe even from inside. Maybe they've been here the whole time, and they're just going to make themselves known as wolves through all of this. And if you think about it, wolves are a little bit more sneakier than, is that even a phrase, a little bit more sneakier? Carrie's in Colorado, so she can't correct my grammar this morning, so I can say all sorts of things. Wolves are sneakier than goats. Wolves are sneakier than a bullying sheep. You know, they wear disguises. They may present themselves as one thing, but on the backside, they're not. And all they really want to do is try and pass themselves off as a sheep so that they can have a meal later on. And as we look at our obligation to be sheep, it means that we can't be the wolf. We can't be this goat that is out there butting and pushing with the horns. And it's interesting to me that when you think about it in terms of actual human behaviors of how we deal with each other, right? There's emotions that are tied into these things that we do it, right? That if I'm a bully, right, then I'm basically an angry, bitter person all the time, unhappy with anything and everything that is going on. Or if I'm a wolf, I'm filled with ego and pride, and honestly thinking that I'm so much better than everybody else that's out there, and that accompanies that kind of behavior. But if I'm a sheep, I'm pretty much at peace, and it's kind of a joyful experience. I may not know necessarily exactly where we're going, but guess what? I'm a sheep. I don't need to know exactly where we're going. I know the shepherd's taking me where I need to be. And we can think of it in terms like that. And that is who we are supposed to be to these three men. And so we find ourselves at a crossroad. Every time the elders make a decision, every time the elders call on us to do something as a body, we can either be a sheep, we can be a wolf, or we can be a goat on this one. That just because Mitch is being put into the position this morning doesn't mean that we make this one decision and we come up to Mitch and say, you know what, Mitch, today I'm going to be a sheep. And then you walk away and go, what an idiot. I'm going to be a goat tomorrow and I'll be a wolf next Thursday and he ain't going to know any different. Yeah, he will. So that's our first step of responsibilities to these men this morning. The second is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we talked about this in our Salt and Light group, but I could not let this one go by this morning without talking about it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. I want to draw your attention to three words and phrases in this. The first one, appreciate. I want you, Paul says, I charge you, we request of you to appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you and give you instruction in the Lord. Appreciate those men. This is what you do when you prize someone. You talk well about them, not just in their presence, but in the presence of others. You don't talk negatively about them. Second, you esteem them highly in love. And really, this kind of flows with the concept of appreciation, right? Because if I appreciate something, then I am going to hold them up as a treasure in my mind and in my heart. I appreciate my wife every day. Oh, I'm sure she's done some things that have frustrated me at least once in our years of marriage. I can't really remember what they are because I love her enough to just let that go. But you won't hear me talking negatively about her at all. And then there's that last one, living at peace with them. Sheep are easy to live with. Again, not the smartest tool, you know, not the sharpest tool in the shed at times, but they are by and large a pretty easy animal to live with. They're not bullying and pushing and doing things that goats would do. They're not trying to eat each other the way that wolves would do. But they submit. And I know I've talked about this before in the past. I'm just going to bring it up again. It's really easy to be sheep when the elders make a decision that we agree with, right? It's super easy to be a sheep when they're making decisions that we agree with. But and do we understand that when the elders make a decision that we agree with and we follow them as sheep, that that's not submission? That's just you agreeing with them. But to actually be a sheep and to listen to the voice of the shepherds and to follow where they are leading, whether we like the decision or not, if we can't make an argument from the scriptures, which by the way we're going to get to here in a second, if we can't make an argument from the scriptures that it's absolutely sinful and wrong, then we still follow, and that's submission. That's who we're being called to be. And so we look at what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, right? Starting in 19, he says, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning." Now understand, I love Alan to death. He's kind of weird, but I love him. All right? And he has some personality quirks, doesn't he? Does Ron have more personality quirks or less than Alan? And once you get to know Mitch, you're going to recognize he's got the most of all three. Just like I've got personality quirks. You've got personality quirks. Everybody has these things that, you know, Cindy's wearing plaid this morning, and plaid drives me crazy. But she continues to wear it every day. And she's like, "I don't care, whatever." Oh, well, you're wearing plaid too. I just noticed that. There's a reason that Paul says what he says to Timothy about accusations against the elders. Because here's the deal. Alan has 50 million personality quirks, and they just are really starting to grate on me. And I've completely forgotten about that whole concept of long-suffering and patience and loving my brother type thing, right? And I come over to Justice. I'm like, "Dude, Did you see what Alan was wearing today? Charcoal gray in a suit? Ridiculous. You know, I think the only reason he does that, and I go off on some weird tangent, right? Paul says, no. Accusations is what we're talking about here. Because here's the deal. If I've got some personality quirks with Alan that I just have a hard time struggling with and dealing with, guess whose problem that is? That's my problem. That's not Alan's problem. Alan's not going about being personally offensive to me just to try and get me to sin. He's just being Alan. That's a me problem at that point. But let's just say that there is actually a real and true accusation that comes up. You have to have more than one person bring an accusation against an elder. You want to know why? Because men who have been recognized for their character and ability and are then put in a position of leadership will inevitably open the door to accusations. At some point, it's going to happen. And the reason I'm even talking about this morning, not only because it's part of the passage, but I think at times we practice this the wrong way or not at all. Because here's the deal. Darrell comes up to me and he doesn't like Mike or he doesn't like Ron. And Darrell says, Jeremy, I saw Ron smoking crack in the church parking lot this afternoon. We laugh. You'd be shocked at some of the silly accusations Jeremy has to field at times. I saw Ron smoking crack in the parking lot, and he tried to give it to kids. Do a little bit of information, or actually just paying attention, and you know that Darrell has a problem with Ron personally. It's a personal issue. It's not any kind of just relationship challenges. But he's allowed Satan to enter into it. And here's what Jeremy does with that. I go, Alan, do you know that Ron was smoking crack in the parking lot and trying to give it to kids? Mitch, Ron, crack, parking lot, kids. What have I just done? How were these men accepted, by the way? Oh, that was right, based on character and ability and the Spirit's guidance on our part to put them into that position. What have I just done? Completely undermined through one person's word the work that they're called to do by God. And then it's not just going to stop with Alan and Mitch, right? Because I'm going to be like, Christy, you know your old man's a crack pipe smoking thing in the parking lot. Now, I would hope and trust that a silly accusation like that, most of us would look at that and go, man, that's just not in Ron's character. For one thing, I've never seen him smoke crack. And secondly, all I've ever seen him give kids is candy and food. That it goes completely against it. But the minute that we entertain those types of accusations, the minute that we start talking about it to other people, we undermine the authority that God has put on these men. But if you have two or three witnesses, Stricklett comes up to me. Darrell comes up to me. Right? Galen comes up to me. He's like, Jeremy, we need to have a conversation, man. We don't know what to do. We saw Ron smoking crack in the parking lot. Oh, did you go to Ron on that one? Did you try to win your brother the way Jesus gave instructions on it? Because if there's two or three people that have seen it, then we do have a problem. And the elder has a problem. If the elder is providing a poor example of holiness, of love, humility, and it goes unchecked, it gives permission to the body to do those things. Next thing you know, if we let Ron continue to smoke crack in the church parking lot, everybody's smoking crack in the church parking lot. And then he continues in the instruction there, guys. And he says, those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all. I'm convinced that this is not necessarily addressing the elder who the accusation is being brought up against, but those who won't just let it go when it's just a personal problem and it becomes sin. And this is where I get into the lack of improper application of it. How many times do we allow this type of garbage to go on in our hearing just because it's easier? Men, let me ask you a question. Somebody starts talking about your wife in a negative way, you're going to let it go? Just going to ignore it? Let it happen? It's not a big deal. Or are you going to shut it down right then and there, quick like and in a hurry? That if one who continues to bring singular accusations against the elders continues to do so, then it becomes a sin issue and it must be dealt with. If he continues to attack the public or the elder publicly or personally, I don't really care. It has to be rebuked. And who do you think is the one who does the rebuking, guys? Alan, I need you to go to rebuke so-and-so because, you know, he's talking about one of the elders. That's not what Paul says. Sheep rebuke other sheep. This isn't pushing with horns and doing those types of things or acting like a wolf. This is you actually looking out for your brothers and sisters in the flock. It's what we're called to be. And it isn't easy. No, I shouldn't say it isn't always easy being a sheep. We've got these responsibilities that have been placed on our shoulders to be sheep, to highly esteem our leaders, to love them, to appreciate the work that they do, and also to not receive singular personal accusations against them. And so as we're about to stand and sing a song here this morning, but I want to encourage us. There's an interesting concept that was presented in Ezekiel about the budding with the horns and those types of things. That one of the things that the gospel does for us as sheep is maybe you feel some horns growing up on that head. The gospel can shave those horns off. They can change your behaviors. You can be who God has purposed you to be as part of the flock. And so maybe you find yourself this morning feeling a little goatish, pushing and prodding, trampling down the pasture for the other sheep that the other sheep are supposed to be feeding on, fouling the water that we're drinking from. And you know you need to change. You know you need to be who God calls you to be. Now's the time. And a word of warning. If you're a wolf, I hope you've enjoyed your time so far. The elders will deal with you. That's what shepherds do. They will not allow us to be prey. And so you might want to find a different flock to go feeding from. Jesus makes the life as a sheep possible, guys. You may be a wolf, you may be a goat. He can change you into who he wants you to be. He can change you into the sheep. But it begins with, and I agree with Alan, a little bit of humility as we accept the gospel by faith, recognizing our faults, recognizing how we can be made better. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you haven't been made a sheep of his hand, people of his pasture, make the confession of Jesus as Lord. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If we can help you this morning with attitude changes, heart transformations, whatever it is, we encourage you to make that known by coming forward while we stand and sing.